Hey, this is Will. Thanks for joining us for Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. It's a bit of a different show this time around. John and I have had vastly different schedules. We found it difficult to find time to record in the first place, and when we did, we decided to do a trailer reaction show. So there's been a lot of cool trailers out. It's a little bit dated at this point in time, a few weeks past its best before perhaps, but I hope you enjoy it anyway. As a bonus, at the end of the show you'll hear our first reaction to seeing Mad Max Fury Road. We found the time actually to get together to go and see that film, and you'll hear reaction immediately after it in John's car after watching the film. So hear what we had to say about that, and then go on to theunheardnerd.com and you can read a review, one by me and one by John. They're slightly different though, essentially saying the same thing. So we hope you enjoy that. And also, just ahead of the show, next time around we'll be reading out comments that we received on the website to do with film and TV. I just want to address some of the ones we've had so far. So on the post that we did about the Joker's appearance for Suicide Squad, you saw that image and he had all the tattoos and everybody was up in arms saying, "This isn't the Joker I know, you're ruining our youth, you're shitting on our memories." Well, we had a few comments on that, and Michael Cullen dropped us a line and he said, "I'm a fan of the photo. Yes, it's a departure from the Joker we grew up with, but I see this as the evolution of the character. It started with the Heath Ledger Joker, much darker and tormented. This to me looks like it will be focusing more on the psychotic side of the Joker. Still, I guess we'll have to wait and see for the finished film." Casper followed up, and I think we need to be patient and see what other pictures come out. Other blurry pictures suggest that it's more of a recognisable Joker. Well, I don't know, what do you think? You can always go online, drop us a line on the website, find the article, leave a comment, and we will continue to read those comments out. That's it really, that's the ambling done. This is the trailer reaction show, Betamax and Laserdisc. It's John and myself discussing the latest trailers that have come out, and then afterwards it's our first reaction to Mad Max Fury Road. Enjoy the show.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Betamax places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. And this week we are taking trailers more seriously than Batman and Superman beating the shit out of each other combined. This is a serious show, John. How are you?
I'm good, Will. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. That was a very tenuous intro there. I'm not sure about that one, but we'll go with it because that was take five and I really can't think of anything else. The Batman-Superman trailer, I know we're going to talk about it later, but that is very, very serious business. How have you been? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. You?
Yeah, I'm not bad. We are throwing our format a little bit out the window this time around. We're a little bit late this month. I thought is inevitable at some point, but we are here still with a monthly show, so you know, don't complain. And we're gonna do a trailer-tastic trailer reaction show. It's like an action show, but more reaction about trailers. So we're not gonna do what have you watched since last time, although I've watched Age of Ultron. And you haven't yet, so we're not going to go into any depth. But there is, of course, the review on the website. No spoilers in there, particularly. Just my thoughts on
good review.
Thank you. I spent a lot of time doing that. I got back, like I said in the review, I got back from the cinema at about 12:30, which is one of the reasons we didn't record the show earlier. Is that I was at the cinema. I got a well cool poster as well, really nice poster from the cinema. That they just laid out a few around on the seats, and people were like,
"Oh yeah,
are we allowed to take them or not?" And a lot of people were like, "I'm just going to leave it there because I'm not sure." I was like, "Fuck it, I'm having it." And I tweeted the Greenwich Pitch House where I went and saw it. Hey, I got a sweet poster, and they retweeted it. So
nice.
Obviously we could. So yeah, that's a really nice poster in front of my desk here, and. I forget what the point of the story was, but I got back from the cinema very late, and I was so pumped up after that film. It is just like full on action, pretty much for 2 hours. There's only a few lulls in the action for you to get your breath. And I was so pumped up. I was up until 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited after watching that film. It was probably dangerous for me to drive home afterwards. But yeah, well worth the watch, and I know you're going to really enjoy that when you go and see it, John.
Quick question about that. I was curious. Having seen the film, do you understand all this hatred toward Joss Whedon?
No.
Over what's her name?
Black Widow.
Black Widow, yeah.
No, I really don't. I mean, yes, you could. I mean, if you're being really critical, which obviously people are, you could look at it and say, all right, yeah, she's been feminized in this, where actually the character doesn't call for it. Yeah, there's a romantic element to the story, which I don't know. I kind of like it. I thought it was quite sweet and unexpected. It's not a pairing I expected in the film. So I can see why. I mean, if you're being hypercritical, yeah. But I mean, for fuck's sake, Joss Whedon for decades has been a staunch promoter of strong female women on TV and on screen. I think the guys, you got to remember Joss Whedon. Yeah, he's a massive name. He's a massive director, and he's made a massive film. But he's still, he's not the boss of Marvel. He's already explained that there's plenty more he wanted to do with the film that he couldn't. He had to cut bits out. He had to, limit things. There was supposed to be like a Loki cameo in there that he's had to pull out. There was supposed to be.
A massive Thor subplot's been really trimmed down, apparently.
Yeah, Thanos has been cut out of the film as much as expected. And so he's still under scrutiny from Marvel. He has to make it according to their very tight rules and regulations, I suppose, or what they expect from a Marvel film. And I think that's just part and parcel of it. If he was given free rein, I think that would be a very different film. So I think, as with anything online, people, fucking keyboard warriors, get on my tits. they don't do anything actually to make, to support the point that they're making online. They don't, a lot of people, I mean, not everyone, I can't say everyone, but a lot of people, they're not doing anything. They're literally sat behind a fucking keyboard typing stuff at a man who's given us wonderful entertainment and really promoted female characters for a long, long time. And I don't think it's justified. So no, I watching the film, it didn't occur to me at all.
Fair enough.
I think people are just picking for the sake of picking. So yeah, that's a very serious start to the show. On the verge of a general election in the UK, we will talk politics and feminism on the Betamax and Laserdisc. No. I mean, just go and see it for as an enjoyable piece of superhero. It's fucking superheroes. Don't take it too seriously.
It's entertainment media. It's not something to be analysed then start issuing death threats.
Exactly. I mean, we're starting to see, I think, a change in people's perceptions of female characters on screen. We've got the Wonder Woman film. We've got the Captain Marvel film that's going to come out later, I know, in the next 5 years or something. I don't know. They've announced so far ahead, it's hard to know where these films are coming. But I think, we're going to see strong female leads. Though, actually, I'm not sure anyone's actually confirmed that Captain Marvel will be the female Captain Marvel. Everyone's just assumed. Captain Marvel's gone through many different iterations and forms, but I think it's probably a safe bet at this point. They've hired two female writers for the part for the film, and it's what I'm really excited for because it's one of my favourite characters. So let's hope so.
And Wonder Woman's a bit up shit creek as well at the moment.
Yeah, they're going through writers as well, aren't they?
Well, the director got chucked off, didn't she?
Director, that's it.
Apparently she had some really wacky ideas, and they were like, see you later, never the director.
Poor DC. I mean, they don't have much luck, do they? They don't seem to be able to get their house in order.
It does sound like a lot of their stuff is being made up on the fly at the moment in trying to get everything to connect together.
It really does. Even like the Man of Steel sequel suddenly becomes, hang on, we could put Batman in it. And then people go, oh, Batman versus Superman. Oh, let's call it Batman versus Superman. And let's get Aquaman in there and Wonder Woman. And fuck it, it's a Justice League film before we even know it.
And then Ben Affleck has been seen spotted on the Suicide Squad set.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, oh, they know, are they sticking, is there a Batman sequence in that? Or are they retconning Batman v Superman, having Batman and Joker seen in that film? It's like,
so much speculation. These films don't come out for years, you know? Let's just chill and see what happens. Although I have to say, I'm quite nervous about the Suicide Squad movie. I'm not sure. The visuals sort of don't send off the right signals. I don't know. I'm just really nervous about it. I can't put my finger on it.
I think I know what you mean. Because, I mean, apart from Harley Quinn and maybe one or two others, I don't really know those characters.
Yeah.
And when that image appeared online, that was not the image I was kind of expecting.
Well, as is often the case, when there's a superhero film announced or a TV series that I don't know much about, I go out and find the comics and read them.
Yeah.
So I did go out and borrowed from my library, which is fantastic. It's got hundreds and hundreds of graphic novels from throughout the years. I went and borrowed the Suicide Squad graphic novel, which I think, I know it's probably not the earliest version of it, but it's sort of the defining version of it.
You know, yeah.
And so I knew what the story was about and the characters and what have you. And some of the characters are different, but it doesn't matter because they evolve and change over time. And I think the Deadshot character, it looks fine. Killer Croc, okay. I mean, Harley Quinn, yeah, it's not the Harley Quinn people know, but you know, actually, Harley Quinn has not been an established character for that long in comics history, really. So I think they've got room to maneuver on it. And I think they're just going for this sort of fresh, sort of young, quite raucous, I don't know, casting and look, even though Will Smith's about 50. I don't know. I'm surprised by his casting. It really feels like out of sorts with the rest of the cast. I don't know if you feel that as well.
That was a strange one. When it's like, oh, he's in it? Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean,
it just seems like we've got to have one big name in it to attract people's attention. You know, maybe draw in an audience that might not have watched it otherwise.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? As people don't even know who they are. You've got to sell that point as well.
And the very premise of the film, you know, it's a group of insane, you know, the dregs of society, the worst of the worst villains, you know, who are imprisoned. In order to reduce their prison terms, they have to go on these, you know, suicide missions, these black ops missions where they might not come back alive. And certainly in the comic book, they have a certain time limit to achieve this and be back at the prison. Otherwise, yeah, you know, they have bombs inserted into them that explode.
I see.
You know,
yeah,
that's why they have to get the job done and get back in order to survive. And so it's that's, you know, the whole suicide element is twofold. It's a suicidal mission, and if they don't make it back, it's suicide as well. The worrying thing for me is that it seems like early reports are, and again, we have to treat it with a pinch of salt because it, you know, it's all speculation, but that they're going for, you know, quite a low rating, like a 13. I can't remember what the ratings are in America, but you know,
PG-13.
PG-13, yeah. I mean, which equates to about a 12 here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems far too young for the material that I would expect from a Suicide Squad film. But who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? Long way to go yet.
Indeed. Just quickly, briefly, because we haven't discussed it since it's been on Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been? You've been watching it, presumably.
Yes, I'm up to 7 so far.
Okay, cool. I'm only slightly ahead. I've got 11. I'm on to number 11. 11 is the next one I'm going to watch.
Uh-huh.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, fuck yes.
It's so much more than I expected. It really is.
I was not expecting that level of violence.
No, really not. I mean, right from the off, you see like bones coming out of legs and the language is not an awful lot of bad language in it, but it's there.
No, language-wise, quite just the, I mean, you know, gangsters deciding they'd rather commit suicide than facing up to their mob boss by headbutting a fence spike. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. But the thing I love most about it is that it's really, they've treated it in a human way. Like, the characters are realistic. It's not, they're not like superheroes to the extent of like Thor
he bleeds, he's in pain, he's, you know.
Yeah, you really see the flip side and the consequences of living that lifestyle as an ordinary human, albeit with heightened senses. And I think they've done it really well. I mean, the Wilson Fisk character is developing, as far as I've watched, I know a lot of people have got through it already, is developing, yeah, really well, and to the point where you actually almost feel sympathy for this character who's supposed to be the bad guy. And it's really well written. They've done a really, really good job on it. And I'm really glad that it's been, you know, greenlit for a second season, where we'll hopefully see that crimson suit come out.
Yes, I've heard it only appears in the very, very last episode, which is a bit of a bummer, but still.
How's that?
Apparently it takes that long for a reason.
I still like, you know, the development. I mean, the costume he wears in it is a costume from a comic book, you know, part of the comic book folklore, you know, the history of the comic book character. He did wear that costume in the comics, and so I think it makes sense as an evolution to the costume before he becomes a fully fledged, you know, defender. I think they're working up to the Defenders, where they'll have, you know, all the characters from the Netflix TV series coming together as a kind of like Avengers Light type thing, I suppose. But yeah, really good. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm so glad they didn't fuck it up, because I love Daredevil. I love the comics, and I'm still reading the current run, which now, compared to the TV program, seems very meek and mild. And I'm like, oh no, I don't like it as much. But anyway.
I mean, something I'd like to point out that made me go, wow. I don't know if you remember all the way back in episode 2, but there's a fight in a corridor.
Oh, yeah.
Where the camera basically goes down the corridor, turns around and comes back. And it's with one continuous shot. There's no CGI in there.
Yeah.
Just to ruin it for people. Occasionally, Daredevil goes through a door. And when he does, that's the spot between, I can't remember his real name, Colin something, isn't it? It's the spot between him and the stuntman.
Charlie Cox,
that's it. Apparently the stunt team rehearsed it in the morning and they did it in about 8 takes in the afternoon. It's just like, that's phenomenal TV.
It's fantastic. I mean, that scene is just, it goes on and you're like, oh my God, that is, it's amazing.
And you can see him getting, you know, worn down as it goes on as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, towards the end of the fight, he's like, throwing the energy into the final punches to get these people to stay down.
And a great thing is, brilliant. I mean, you know you're watching good TV when, yeah, for me, at work, the woman that sits opposite me, I mean, she's a bit younger than me, but she's not particularly into superheroes or anything. Her boyfriend, husband, I should say, has been watching Daredevil. And she comes in and goes, I'm not really watching it, but that fight scene in the corridor is amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I know. So, you know, I mean, really struck a chord with people, that scene. Yeah, fantastic. I am definitely going to go back and rewatch the whole series again, just to take it in. I'm sure I've missed subtleties along the way.
I've noticed a couple of Avengers references.
Yeah, there's definitely Avengers references.
There's newspapers on the wall.
Yeah,
that mentioned Battle of New York.
Yeah, and a picture of Stan Lee as well. There's a picture of Stan Lee on the wall, but in the behind a policeman, at some point.
Is there? I don't think I've seen that one yet.
I can't say I noticed it myself, but I've seen.
I was gonna say, isn't there a portrait of him?
Yes.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So he's in there as well. I finally got round to seeing Big Hero 6 this weekend.
Oh yeah, and?
Yeah, at the cinema in 3D. And I have to say, Avengers, it's been a while since we've talked about 3D and my hatred of it. just for the love of God, go and see Avengers in 2D. You don't need to see it in 3D. For the first like 10 minutes, I was just like, I can't see anything. It's just a blur. There's just stuff happening and I can't see it. And you know, I know there's characters in there somewhere, but it's all a mess. But on the flip side, Big Hero 6 in 3D was fantastic, and I really think 3D lends itself more to animation than it does live action.
CGI animation just seems to work so well with 3D.
Yeah, but Big Hero 6, oh my God, we had tears at the end of that. yeah, I won't spoil it, but oh my God, tears. Yeah, my youngest was sobbing.
Oh,
But yeah, the kids finally relented and went and saw it with us and enjoyed every second of it. They really liked it. So I'm glad we finally got to see that.
I mean, we love it so much. Me and my 3-year-old, well, we all do it. We all do the fist bump.
I started doing it with my littlest, but the eldest was no.
So we don't do the proper fist bump with the proper. We do the Baymax version.
Yeah.
So you fist bump and then just go.
Absolutely. Cool. Okay, well, we said we wouldn't do what we've watched since last time, but we've just done it. So.
And that was the trailer reaction show.
we should get on with it and do the trailer reactions. So basically, John and I have both gone back through the website and looked at all the trailers that have been out since the last time we did a show. And there's been loads.
There's so many good ones.
I think you just counted up, there's like, what, 14?
About 14 odd, yeah.
And not all good, but a lot of good. And I guess we should start wherever you want to start, John.
Okay. Chronological order, I suppose, be easiest.
Let's do it.
Ant-Man.
Right.
The second trailer.
Okay, I have thoughts on Ant-Man.
Okay.
They showed it ahead of Avengers on the big screen.
Yes.
Which was, yeah, it was a different experience to watching it on my laptop or on my phone or whatever. Yeah, I've watched it a few times now. I totally get what you referenced on the website about the CG effect of Ant-Man actually shrinking. It's kind of like an outline effect as he shrinks.
Oh, yeah.
It looks awful. It just looks really bad, especially on the big screen. It's like decades ago they would have done that effect and we would have gone, oh, right, yeah, I get it. I see what they're trying to do. You don't need to do it. We can see the guy shrinking. You know, you don't need the effect of like, ooh, here he goes. He's getting smaller. I figured it out. I love two things about that trailer. Albeit I'm not as excited for Ant-Man as any other Marvel film this far. It still hasn't piqued my excitement in the same way as any other Marvel film. But things I love, a Yellow Jacket looks fucking badass in that. Like, really bad. Like, the outfit is better than Ant-Man's. Much better than Ant-Man's.
It is, definitely, yeah.
And secondly, the Thomas the Tank Engine bit at the end is fucking genius.
I lost count how many times I watched that and pissing myself. It's brilliant.
I'm still a little bit confused why they've decided to bring out the Ant-Man film sort of after Age of Ultron, because, you know, again, being a nerd with the comics, Ultron in the comics was created by Hank Pym, Ant-Man, mm-hmm. Ant-Man, you know, Ant-Man, yeah. Stroke Giant Man. He could get bigger and smaller. seriously. And I don't know why they didn't. I guess, I don't know, maybe it just didn't fit into the schedule or whatever. I don't know why they didn't sort of bring in the Ant-Man film first and actually stick to that history, that script, and have Ant-Man create Ultron instead of, you know, as we, I'm sure you know, in the film, Tony Stark is responsible for the creation of Ultron. So I'm a bit confused by that, and I don't really understand why they flipped it. But, you know, regardless, that's what's happened. I think Ant-Man will be fun. Apparently they're looking to create sort of a Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it. It's going to be a bit jokey, a little bit.
Yeah, but the comedy seems to be played up a little bit more in this. For my wife, this new second trailer actually completely 180'd her decision. The first trailer, she was like, no, I'm not really fussed about this one. Then she saw the second trailer and she goes, now that's a film I want to go see.
Right.
So it's definitely doing its job. Although on the other hand, also, this one does feel very sort of standalone. I can't see any links for this going in with other, you know, other Marvel movies.
I see what you mean. Yeah. It's difficult to see how it would tie in, but I think, yeah, I mean, Ant-Man, I don't know, I guess it's difficult to sort of say what I want to say without spoiling parts of Age of Ultron, which I'm not going to do. But I wonder, you know, obviously the Avengers team has to evolve and expand over time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, is this sort of a time where, yeah, we're leading up now to a third and fourth Avengers film. The scale is going to be even bigger than we've seen. And so we're going to need more characters. And I wonder if these are like characters that are going to do stuff and then they're kind of enlisted into the Avengers. Yeah, it could be an element of that. Yeah, the Nick Fury coming in at the end and going, you might be someone we need.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It could be that. But yeah, I see what you're saying, definitely. It does feel a lot more standalone. It kind of feels like, in a way, the first Iron Man film. In a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not. I don't think it's ever going to be as popular. The character's never going to be as charismatic as Iron Man is. But that's the way I feel anyway.
Okie doke. Should we move on to the next one?
Let's do it. What's the next one?
Terminator Genisys.
Right. What I'm gonna do is record a groan. I'm just gonna play that instead of me having to do it, because I just don't know what they're doing with this film. It's like, here's the trailer. That's the whole story.
If you're watching carefully, there's a lot of spoiler points in that new trailer.
It seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, the biggest one of all is that, you know, John Connor is a Terminator.
Yeah.
I think it might have been better just to maybe not tell us that bit. I don't know. It seems like a very big part of the story that we probably should have found out in the theatre.
Is that the big reveal ruined? I mean,
you've got to think that there's more to this story than they're putting out there. There must be something else. There must be more.
The one thing that really bugs me is English actor Matt Smith, who recently played Doctor Who, for those of you who don't know his name. he's in this film.
Yeah.
But they will not reveal who he is or what he's doing in the film.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the big secret with Matt Smith?
Well, I mean,
is that the big secret that's going to make it's probably the big secret that make me go see it anyway?
It really has. That has to be. It must be the bait and the.
Because he's not in any marketing materials. He's not in any trailers.
Well, he only appeared in pictures in, was it Entertainment Weekly?
Oh, yeah, those terrible front pages, yeah.
Yeah, and he just appeared to be dressed up as some kind of soldier or military guy, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the film stars, obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger back for his usual stint as the Terminator.
Yeah, in real life old form and in CGI original 1984 form.
Well, this is another worrying thing. The fact that even before the film is anywhere near release, they've just released trailer, they're already having to justify why Arnie looks older as a robot. And you think, oh no, really? I mean, if you're already having to justify those sort of plot points before the film's even hit the cinema, before even people have had a chance to see it and ask the questions, there's something really worrying. As Sarah Connor, we've got I can't remember the actress's name, but Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And
Emilia
Clarke, that's the one. Very good. Good call. well saved. There's nothing about those trailers that have made me want to go and see the film. Nothing at all. All I've seen from those is it's another homage to all the other films. You've got a character that looks a lot like the T-1000. You've got the I'll be back. I mean, they didn't even save that for the film. It's like watch the film and you go, it's gonna come. Yeah, there it is. No, it's in the trailer. And there's a bit where one of them is walking towards a motorbike and it's not in the trailer, but you kind of think, oh, that's a nice bike. It just feels like a tribute to all the other films. And I just don't think it bodes well. I'm not going to go and see it at the cinema. I'm really not, unless something amazing happens to turn my mind. I just can't be bothered. I'll watch it on DVD.
I mean, for me, this new trailer, there's two points that really bug me. One is the comedy when she's trying to get the Terminator to learn how to smile.
Oh yeah.
Which was originally a scene. If you watch the extended edition of Terminator 2, there's a scene identical to that in there. It was originally cut, and that's why it's not in the original version, because it's rubbish.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy to see them do that again. And that bus flip.
Oh, God, yeah.
That really is like, oh, God's sake.
No, I agree completely. I watched it again this afternoon or this evening. And, those two points, exactly, they bugged the shit out of me. So, I'm sorry. I think the Terminator franchise lost its way a long, long time ago. And
it's scary to think that they're planning this as a trilogy.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
They say they've got another two parts to, go ahead with if this one obviously gets the go ahead. It's like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. No, definitely not. Right. What's next, John? What should we see now?
And then we had the second trailer for something called Star Wars, the Force of Wakans.
Yeah, controversially, and I'm sure we'll come on to it, Superman v Batman, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. The trailers came out around about the same time. And controversially, I have to say, I'm more excited for Batman v Superman than I am for Star Wars. And I'm sure that will change, and there's an awful lot about the Star Wars trailer. Again, I watched it this evening before we recorded, and it looks amazing, but it doesn't do enough for me to get me excited yet. I mean, there's some great imagery, but I'm not excited. I'm like, meh, old characters, new characters. the only thing I've really turned around on is the ball droid, which I hated from the first teaser. Like, yeah. just looked at it and thought, oh no, that just looks really like George Lucas.
BB-8.
But then I saw that BB-8 is actually real and works, and I was blown away, and I found a newfound respect for BB-8. Well, things I loved about that trailer. I loved the crashed Death Star Destroyer.
Oh, yeah. And do you notice the little X-Wing in front of it as well?
I only noticed that this evening. Yeah, I didn't notice it before. I loved the X-Wings flying over water. I loved the scene with the Millennium Falcon flying through the engine. The exhaust ports of Star Destroyer.
It looks like an upside-down Super Star Destroyer.
Exactly, yeah. So I loved all that imagery, but I'm not sure. I'm not on board. I'm not on board yet. I'm not excited enough. And I think, I don't know whether I'm still tainted by the last three. I don't know, maybe.
That might be why they dropped the number. If you notice, they're not calling this 7. They're just calling it Star Wars The Force Awakens. And a lot of people are saying they dropped the numbering system just to sort of, you know, just forget the prequels. Move on. Being a long-time Star Wars fan, I don't know how many times I've watched it. I just love it. I love it to bits. I mean, I wasn't going to watch the live stream,
right?
But in the end, the missus like, look, you want to go watch it, go watch it. So I sat in front of the PC for an hour and watched the live stream from the celebration event in Anaheim.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I don't like is I'm not too sure about the chrome stormtrooper guy.
It's a woman.
Oh, it's a woman in it, sorry. Yes.
Again, I can't remember the actress's name.
Is it Captain Phasma?
Captain Phasma is the character's name, yeah. Can't remember the actress's name, but she is Brienne of Tarth. from Game of Thrones. Bit of a theme going on here. People from Game of Thrones sort of getting into films.
Popping up all over the place.
Yeah, I think she'll... I don't know. I like her as in Game of Thrones. She's certainly got a screen presence, and I think she's got what it takes to pull off some kind of bad person. I don't know.
Who knows?
Assuming that she's playing a bad person in the film, I don't know. She might not be. I got to say, though, I was more excited by the first teaser with the lightsaber with the...
The cross hilt, yeah.
Exactly. I was more excited by that than I was for this full trailer. I don't know what that says about me.
I don't know.
I think maybe I like more suspense. I don't know how I felt about Han Solo and Chewie at the end, because Chewie doesn't seem to have aged much.
Wookiees live for about 300 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that he's aged 30 years since Jedi... It's not really going to make much of a difference to him.
I guess. That's a good point. Good point, well made.
But, when you know, Harrison Ford turned up back on screen, I was just like, yeah!
I don't know. I really feel like I should be more excited than I am.
And there's a ripped YouTube trailer permanently sitting on my tablet, so I'm just watch it whenever I want.
Fair enough. Okay.
So, moving on to the other one that was... Did it come out the same day, or was it?
I think it was either the same day or the day after.
I no one actually said anything, I think, but I believe it's because that crappy camcorder job turned up online.
Yeah.
The Warner Bros. Because it wasn't going to come out till Monday, was it?
That's right, it wasn't.
Star Wars was Friday.
Yeah.
And they'd already said, it's going to come out on Monday.
Yeah.
And then it's those horrible camcorder bootlegs turned up online, and Warner Brothers went, here you go, here's a trailer for Batman v Superman.
Well, I can kind of see their thinking. It's like, well, you know, you've got a shitty version out there doing the rounds. Why not give people the proper version and let them see it? Yeah, what's the point of holding it back now? People have seen it. I don't know. I might be imagining it, but I think the final official release was slightly different. Ever so slightly different at the end, I think. I may be wrong.
I don't know.
Let's not get caught up on little points like that. Okay, Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. I've got to say, I mean, I know I'm bucking trend, but I really loved Man of Steel. Despite its faults, I love that film. It really gets me. I've watched it again recently. It really gets me in the gut, I find it tense. I find it engaging. I find it appealing. That's the film I want to see. And this looks to be sort of carrying on that kind of mood and that sort of theme. I know that the desaturation of the colour has been a topic out there recently, and I do agree to an extent that they put far too much grading and graining on these films. They almost look like worse quality than, you know, they make it worse quality than it should be on screen. But
it's just a side point. The creators of that video have since owned up and said it was a joke.
Oh, really?
Yes. That part of the story hasn't gone as viral as the actual video itself, but yeah, they said...
What part was it? Was a joke? I mean, I don't know.
The fix, apparently some of the original footage they purposely made darker.
Oh, I see.
And more desaturated to sort of prove their point.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
Apparently it was all supposed to be a joke, but everyone took it dead serious and went, wow, look at what it could have looked like.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, actually, a little bit more colour wouldn't have gone amiss, really. But I don't mind that dark tone. It doesn't bother me. It's the graining on it that really bothers me.
Right.
They make it sort of... stop rubbing your hands.
Sorry.
They make it kind of like speckly. It's like the quality of the actual picture. I don't know what they want to achieve from it, but if you look at that trailer, like zoom it up full screen...
Yeah,
you can see it's just like really grainy. I don't know why, but anyway, let's talk about the trailer itself. Firstly, fucking excellent. I'm just blown away. The fact that people have turned on Superman, it's great. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what, it's realistic in a way. I know it's a superhero film, it's completely unrealistic, but in terms of superhero context, it's realistic. You know, people might turn on something they don't understand, they fear, you know. How can this amazing alien, you know, win over everybody? You can't. I love the little you know, nods to 300 on the space rocket, and the red writing on the Superman statue is kind of SimCity-ish, and 300 logo as well, a little bit. I like that. Batman's heavy armor. I know he looks like the Lego guy, but it looks amazing. The voice changer. Ah, oh, yes. I mean, that we don't want gravelly Batman. Let's have a voice changer. That's amazing. Like, why hasn't anyone ever done that before? That works for me. Absolutely. Ben Affleck does look really fucking miserable.
He does.
He really does. To the point where he just looks like a sulky, like, teenager. Like, oh, hate being Batman. But, I don't know. It's just like, you know. Do you bleed? Yes, I'm up for this film. I'm really up for it. I just wish it was coming out tomorrow and I'd watch it. I'd absolutely watch it. That said, I really hope it lives up to my expectations.
I'm holding judgment. I haven't seen enough to make an opinion personally.
Okay.
I mean, I love Man of Steel, but I'm not a big Superman fan per se, so I'm not really bothered about that. I'm a big Batman fan. And I just haven't. It's like the new costume. We seem to have both extremes at the moment. We've seen moody lighting in the shadows.
Yeah.
And then we've had that leaked publicity, whatever. I don't know if it's like a reference photo or something. He's got that really unnatural pose, and it's all brightly lit, so you can see everything.
Well, I think what it was is you've seen the sort of headshots with the different logo over the eyes.
Yeah.
I think it's that shot before it's been treated.
Right.
So they with the full color, full tone, you know, before it's been desaturated, colorized, photoshopped, whatever. I've got to say, I like the Batman costume, the gray Batfleck costume. It's kind of, you know, quite true to the Frank Miller graphic novel.
Very is it just called Dark Knight, that one?
So
Dark Knight and Dark Knight Returns are the two books, aren't they? I think
that was the films. I'm trying desperately. It's The Dark Knight Returns. I've got it right here in front of me. Yes. the Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I know it's not the armor, which, you know, is practical in terms of, you know, war, like combat and what have you. But he's got the heavy armor for that. I don't know. I just like it. I'm not keen on the Batmobile, to be honest. It's very much a confused. Like bastard son of the Keaton Tim Burton Batmobile and the Tumbler. It's like the two had sex and out come this weird half breed. But
even know, that could have been Zack Snyder's instruction to the concept artist.
it could well have been. I mean, you know, best of both worlds, perhaps. Appealing to all or none, maybe. I don't know, it's just not as remarkable. Yeah, when the Tumblr came out, it was totally different. It was like, oh my God, what is that? You loved it. I'm not such a big fan. But, you know, and again, when Tim Burton's film came out and we saw this huge, like, lorry-long Batmobile, it's like, oh my God, it's like nothing we've ever seen before. And then they kind of, yeah, refined it. Not refined it, made it worse, quite a bit.
Made it worse than the second one.
Yeah, as it went on. But, you know, again, yeah, very different. I don't know. It's just not as remarkable as I'd like to see, I don't think. But I can't wait for it. I can't wait. I really want to see that film. And
just a year to wait.
I know. And it's like, you know, originally it was supposed to come out this year and they pushed it back because they were like, yeah, we're making it up as we go along. So we we haven't finished it.
We're just shoving in as many other characters as we can.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it really does feel like it's going to be, you know, a kind of Justice League film in a way, but who knows?
That's what it's all leading to for them, isn't it?
Of course it is. I just don't think, you know, Warner and Legendary, that whole DC unit, I don't think they're quite as slick as Marvel. But yeah, maybe they'll get there. Maybe.
So the next trailer that appeared on the list was Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, better than I expected, I have to be honest.
That was a much better second trailer.
Yeah. I mean, not much of a Fantastic Four fan. I haven't read a lot of the comics, to be honest. Just the occasional bits and pieces, which is weird since the Silver Surfer is my, you know, favourite character. Yeah. And is intrinsically tied to the Fantastic Four. I've always gone for stuff that's more sort of Surfer-centric than Fantastic Four. So I don't know. I'm still confused by the characters. They've obviously gone off in a slightly different direction with it. They're billing it, I mean, all the synopsis read as it's a contemporary vision of the Fantastic Four. It's got very much a feel of Interstellar about it, you know, that sort of spacey Interstellar feel where they go into the rocket and you know, obviously they're going to have the accident that gives them their powers, and the thing looks really weird to me. It just doesn't look right. It looks kind of a little bit.
Who's the head guy? Is it Reed Richards?
Reed Richards, yeah.
Have you heard the explanation about why his body stretches?
No.
His body is not stretching. He has the ability to bend. I don't know what they call it now. He has the ability to bend space. So he can bend space to reach things. That makes sense.
It's a more plausible.
So it doesn't. So his body is never actually stretching. It's space that's warping around his body and makes it look like his hands are stretching. That's his power.
It's a more plausible, and I'm doing the bunny ears, contemporary explanation of why his powers are what they are. I guess it works for a modern, you know, audience. Perhaps it's another explanation for it. I don't have a problem with that, but. I don't see why you couldn't just leave it as it was. Yeah, he's stretchy.
I'm willing to give this one a go. I mean, the other half loves the two Twin Century Fox versions.
Right, okay.
But for me, I just find they're too jokey and a bit campy. And the.
I've watched the Fantastic Four. I've watched that first film. It was okay. It didn't blow me away. I didn't really care for it that much, but it was okay. The Rise of the Silver Surfer just offended me immensely to the point where I don't want to talk about it.
Have you heard the big Josh Trank story this week?
No.
Josh Trank, director of the Fantastic Four, was going to be directing the other Star Wars spin-off standalone film.
All right.
He was supposed to make an appearance at the Anaheim Star Wars Celebration last month with director Gareth Edwards, who's doing the Rogue One movie.
Yeah.
And he didn't turn up. He issued an apology saying, I've got the flu, I can't make it. And at the same time he's joined stage, 20th Century Fox issued that new second trailer. Okay. And everyone went, that's a bit odd timing-wise. And then just last week, I can't remember what day it was exactly, Josh Trank issued a statement saying, I've thought about it long and hard, and I'm not going to do this Star Wars standalone film. And a rep from Vice President of Lucasfilm Development said, it's been great working with him. We're sad that he's going in separate ways, blah, blah, blah. So some people went, this is too sort of nice and natural. Let's do some digging. It turns out they hired a house for Josh Trank to live in while he was filming Fantastic Four. And he left his two dogs there when he went out, and apparently they did 100 grand's worth of damage to the house.
Jesus.
And the president of Fox had to go to the owners personally to apologise. Apparently, I don't know how much this is true, he turned up on set as Isaac Kai and he couldn't make any decisions. He heard on the last day of filming, he'd heard that his job was over and they were going to do the film in post-production without him. But that's apparently not true. Although they have called in another producer to help pull the film together and sort it out. There were even rumours they've had to reshoot the last third of the film, which sounds a bit over the top, that one.
Yeah.
But one of the producers who worked on Fantastic Four was going to work with him again. Actually, that producer's still working on this other standalone Star Wars film. And he went, I don't really want to work with this guy again.
Wow.
And so Lucasfilm said, right, okay then, don't let him go to Anaheim. We'll think about this for a bit. And afterwards I went, yeah, you're fired. You're not working on this new Star Wars film. We can't take this risk.
Bloody hell. I mean, I'm focusing on all the wrong things, but what kind of dogs does he have? what are they, like the hounds from Ghostbusters or something?
I don't know. That's what one of the rumours said.
Jesus.
He was fired. He didn't... He said he left, but he was fired by Lucasfilm. They weren't taking the risk over whatever he did.
Yeah.
The general consensus is that he made Chronicle.
Yeah.
And then basically someone's gone, Chronicle's brilliant. Do you want to do big budget Fantastic Four? And he can't sort of handle the transition between small film and big blockbuster film.
Wow. Okay, tough business.
That's the story.
Gosh, okay. Well, there we are. Haven't they announced that the next standalone is going to be a Boba Fett film?
Have they? That's the story that's come out, yeah.
What are they calling them? They're pro... What are they?
Anthologies. Star Wars anthology films.
That's right, yeah. So Boba Fett anthology. I don't know if that's legit or not, but that's what's been doing the rounds. Okay, what were we talking about? Fantastic Four.
Yes.
I'm up for it. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I didn't care much for the last lot. And, again, I'd like to see Marvel actually take these characters back if they could, and or some kind of deal work out like they did with Spider-Man, so that Marvel could have creative control over elements of it. But it looks okay. I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Next up is Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Okay. I'm not blown away by this at all.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, but for me, I think I've said it before, the big issue for me is trained velociraptors and Chris Pratt riding alongside on a bike.
Yeah.
that bit really bugs me.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah, it's dinosaurs, it's an island, it's all done before. Like, you just know it's a bad idea. Why are you doing it again? It's like rehashing the same story in a way. I'm a bit over it. I will watch it, probably not at the cinema.
Yeah, I mean, the director's sort of... I don't know if it's a defensive statement or not, but he says that this takes place on the same island as the original Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So in a way, it doesn't really need to reference number two and three because in a technicality, they happened on different islands.
Yeah.
So it's more of a sort of direct sequel to the original, he says.
Yeah, and it's an established attraction. 10 years with no problems. It's all been running fine. And then they genetically engineer a new type of dinosaur who goes on the rampage and kills everyone. Probably. Maybe,
I mean, what gets you someone's head to make that decision? We've got a theme park here. We've recreated dinosaurs. It's awesome. Yeah, but that's not interesting enough. Let's create more dangerous dinosaurs.
Well, after 10 years, apparently people are a bit bored of dinosaurs, so they need something new to boost footfall, get more people in. Oh, it's a new dinosaur. It's huge. It's the most fierce thing. Oh, it's ripped my leg off. Yeah, okay. Anyway, moving on. Next one.
Moving on. Tomorrowland.
Okay, I'm quite interested in Tomorrowland. It kind of looks a bit, as you'd expect, as a Disney film. It's a little bit of a kiddie film. It's based on an actual ride, isn't it?
I think, it ties into the park very strongly by the look of it.
Yeah.
I mean, this, for those of you who haven't seen it, this new... I mean, one thing I thought was different about this new trailer was it was almost like a condensed version of an opening scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And it's a very exciting scene as well. I was like, I want to see this film now.
Well, the previous trailers and teasers have been, as I mentioned on the website, they've all been quite whimsical and magical, and it's like this girl falls into a magical land and she's got to save it with George Clooney character, who's a former boy genius.
Yeah.
And it's all quite, you know, magical, whimsy. This one was just like action. It's like there's guns, there's people chasing. It's like, wow, this is a very different trailer for the film.
There's tiny stargates you can chuck on people.
It's, yeah, very, very different feel to it. And, I thought it looked all right before, but that made it look more interesting for me. I don't know, yeah, I'm quite interested in it. I don't know what the certificate will be on it. I don't think it's one I can take the kids to yet. They're still a little bit young for that kind of thing. But I might give it a go. Again, probably not at the cinema, but I'll watch it on DVD when it comes out. Yeah, it looks okay. Disney was a bit of a weirdo, wasn't he? Isn't he Frozen or something? He's cryogenically frozen. Walt Disney.
That's the sort of urban myth. It's not true, though, is it?
I have no idea. I don't know. Disney, get in touch. Let us know. That'll never happen. Okay, moving on. Next one.
Probably one of the next biggest ones was yet another trailer for Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay. if we've discussed the others at any great length, then for me, this is going to be the film of the year. It just looks phenomenal. I mean, every trailer has added loads more scenes, loads more action, loads more plot. It just looks incredible. It's crisp, it's clean, it's enormous in scale, epic fucking film. It looks amazing. I mean, it's a film I definitely have to see at the cinema. I think we're plotting to go and see it because your wife... what's wrong with your wife?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure my wife will look at that and go, I don't want to see that. Agreed. But, oh my God, it just looks amazing. It's got everything.
I can take the easy route. What he said.
I mean, yeah, like cars. I mean, Mad Max was fucking great anyway. The first film with Mel Gibson in the lead was just phenomenal. But yeah, you know, a low budget film, really, like on a smaller scale. This is vast. It just looks enormous. The amount of action.
And apparently, there's very little CGI. It's all real stunts.
Yeah,
all real physics.
But the color of it, the whole, you know, grandeur of it. When the convoys of trucks and vehicles are driving along, and you've got people swaying around on poles, you've got people playing guitars. It's like there's metal, there's cars, there's like robots, there's, you know, violence and guns and desperation, and human trafficking appears to be part of it. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's just so many cool elements to this film. I really, really think that's, it's got to be film of the year. Unbelievable. It just looks amazing.
Basically, so there's still a review embargo in place for this film, but there is a screening that has taken place in America, and I saw about 4 tweets that all of them just said basically amazing.
Yeah.
One of the tweets said this guy would be happy to watch his film every day again for the rest of his life.
Wow. I mean, you know, an unsubstantiated source online that I read just said, what you've seen in the trailers is it happens the whole way through the film.
It's just what, an hour and a half, 2 hours of just action.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was dangerous for me driving back after Avengers Age of Ultron. What am I? I'm just going to go out and throw spears on the front of the car and start chasing people. it's probably not safe to be around me after that film.
Oh dear.
Definitely, you know, oh my god, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. I just know it's going to be amazing. It's just nothing bad. There's nothing in any of those trailers that have come out for that film that have made me think, yeah, that's a bit off.
I remember being so worried as well.
Yeah.
Because of, there were understandable reshoots and stuff. Like, they'd been waiting years to film, and they finally got the go-ahead to film in the desert of South Africa. And, they went to South Africa to film it. That's it. They were going to film in Australia.
Right.
But after years and years of drought, when they went to actually film it, it rained and green plants grow. It's like, oh, bollocks.
That's a problem.
But, That ruins the look.
I know I've said it, but the look, it just looks amazing. The coloration, it's crisp. As we mentioned with the graining and the desaturation on the Warner Brothers like DC films, this is the complete opposite. It's vibrant color. Like you get to see everything. Just it looks amazing. I can't wait. I'm tempted to write to whoever's making that film and just say, please let us come to a preview. We will just spunk all over the website. And it will just be dedicated to Mad Max for a week. Yeah, and then I'll go and watch it and be like, oh, it's awful. Anyway, okay, let's move on.
Okay, moving on. Something different from Vin Diesel, The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah, the last one. I don't know, that's a bold claim. I don't know, might be another one comes along.
Well, if there's a romantic lead involved, there's probably going to be another one, so...
Yeah, the romantic lead in this one is Ingrid from Game of Thrones.
That's a common theme here in this one.
Apparently, I mean, Game of Thrones, it's not surprising, is it? They go through so many cast members. Yeah, there's a different one killed off almost every minute of the show. Of course,
perhaps the title of the film then should have brackets after it, just like The Last Witch Hunter in brackets for the time being.
Potentially. Yeah, I just watched it just now. I hadn't seen it, but before the show, you kindly waited while I watched this one. It doesn't look terrible.
There's just not much to say really based on that, is there? I mean, it's really just a sense of almost like a series of images to give a feel of the film.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of films in this sort of vein that just generally don't capture my imagination. I don't think this one will really pull me into the cinemas to see it. But again, I'll probably get around to watching it a few years after release on DVD. So, I don't know. Vin Diesel doesn't really... Yeah, my wife is always joking that Vin Diesel's my favourite actor. He really isn't. It's just that she believes I only like films with car chases, action and Vin Diesel. And
that's rather limiting.
I think it started on her hen night, before we got married.
Yeah.
Her sister asked me, the groom's questions, and they did a quiz, and it's like, how well do you know your husband to be? And some of the questions were like favorite footballer, favorite actor, and I did jokes for all of them, and she guessed them all. And the favorite actor one, I just put Vin Diesel because I knew that she'd get it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Vin Diesel in particular. It might be right, I don't know. I just don't know at this point.
I think we need another trailer for that one.
I think so. Anything else? What have we got? That's quite near the end, isn't it?
Oh yes, only two left to go.
Two left. Okay,
so this being a half hour podcast.
Yeah.
Penultimately, we had what I believe is the third and final trailer for San Andreas. It's had that pre-recorded groan again.
It's in there. Oh. I watched the first trailer, I think it was second trailer, I don't even know which trailer it was. I watched a trailer for this film.
Yeah.
And just thought, this is just shit. It's complete shit. It's the same premise we've seen in disaster movie after disaster movie. Man separated from family, must make it against all the odds to combine with family. Hooray! Except this one's, it's the San Andreas Fault in California. It's a famous fault line. Yeah, the fault line rubs against each other or pulls apart whichever way. There's a massive earthquake. The Rock, for some reason, flies a helicopter, but also he drives a speedboat. Is there anything the man can't do? He's amazing. There's no way he can fail.
Well, he won't fail, will he? I mean,
exactly. So I don't need to see this film. I've seen it before. I've seen it in The Day After Tomorrow. I've seen it in War of the Worlds. I've seen it in
Independence Day.
In probably 2012.
Yes, the other one. That's the other one it reminded me of as well.
Oh my god, really? It's like rehash. It's almost as criminal as all the reboots and remakes that we get, but not quite. It's an original film, technically, as in it's different in terms of it's a different disaster.
Yeah,
slightly. No, I can't be bothered with it.
Fair enough.
Anything you want to add? Are you a big fan?
I think Mr. Johnson's very watchable in whatever he's in. I think the last thing I watched him in was Hercules.
Okay.
which wasn't amazing, but it's, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
This looks the same. It looks like it'll be entertaining, but not something I'll go out of my way to watch.
Just when the speedboat came in on the trailer, I saw. I just thought, this is ridiculous. What?
Reminds me of The Perfect Storm. Exact same thing in The Perfect Storm, wasn't it?
Well, not quite. I mean, he wasn't trying to outrun a tsunami in a speedboat.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the other way around. That's a different trailer.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's another trailer where they're trying to climb up the wave in a boat.
Right, yeah.
And he says, you know, you need to get over the crest of the wave before it breaks.
Yeah.
And I just thought, hang on a minute, they did that in The Perfect Storm.
They did. It's a good visual, and I don't begrudge them using that, but it's just ridiculous. Like, that fucking speedboat. I mean, come on. Anyway, okay, well, what's our final trailer to
finally
react?
We've got the ever pleasant Mr. Pegg to watch in Anything Goes.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one for me. I'm going to let you go first on this. I think you're a bigger Pegg fan than I am.
I think it is like a good bit of comedy, a good bit of fun. I'm not quite sure why they've made I know they've got the remaining pythons in it, but I don't know why it's a big... What's such a big thing? They're in it, and they're all CGI anyway. But the premise looks funny. Now I'm reflecting on it. Now I'm talking about it. My brain's going, well, hang on a minute. Let's think about it. It does have that sort of Bruce Almighty vibe a little bit.
The thing that struck me about it, I like Simon Pegg, and I think the recent trailer that's been out for Kill Me Three Times looks really good. I'd like to watch that. It looks like a bit of a farcical, hitman film. Something a little bit out of character for him as well, to be playing someone, sort of a villain, if you like, a bit of a hard man. This one, it's just struck me it feels like a very unfinished film. And I'm sure it is unfinished, but it just looks quite low budget. And I know it's a British sort of film, and you've got the Monty Python cast and Robin Williams' voice for some reason. I'm confused. Anyway, I guess he did it before he died.
I've seen it another way.
Hey, fucking Paul Walker can make films when he's dead. You never know. God bless him, he's a good man. I mean no offense, but I don't know, it just doesn't look like a finished film. It looks a bit rough around the edges. I don't know, it looks fun. I think I'll enjoy it, but I don't think I'll enjoy it as much as like Kill Me Three Times. just from the trailers, you know. I don't know, I haven't I've only watched it once. I haven't really had a chance to take it in, perhaps.
Okay.
Well, that was a bit of a flat note to leave on. Show over. See ya.
Yes.
That's your lot. I don't know. Will tell. I think I need to watch that one again. It's the newest trailer on the site. We haven't really had the time to digest it too much. I don't know. It looks fun. I'm just not like blown away by it.
Fair enough.
So, in summary, I would say for me, the two films I'm looking forward to the most out of all of those trailers would have to be, firstly, Mad Max, even over Batman versus Superman, which I'm really hyped for, but that's still more than a year away. I can't wait to see Mad Max. Is it out later this month?
Mad Max, 14th of May in the UK. I don't know what the US date is off the top of my head.
Okay, so 14th of May, I imagine we'll be heading to cinemas around that time to watch it. And we might even have a special reaction podcast, possibly, if we can be bothered. let's be honest. We did the Superman, Man of Steel one, didn't we?
We did, yeah, all those years ago.
And we sat in a closed shopping centre for hours talking about a film that we just seen. Maybe we'll do that again.
Why not?
While I'm driving home, I'll be like,
sound of police sirens. I'm sorry, listeners. Will's on a rampage right now.
Hell of a way to go. Okay, well, I think that's about it. That's not a bad show. It's quite a long one as well. Like the last one was a long one. We're slipping back into an hour format, aren't we? God damn it.
So, we have so much to say. I can't cut myself off.
There we go, that's what we get for making it a monthly show. Right, well, thank you, John, and I don't think we're going to add any more to the show. I think that's enough. And until next time, we will see you later, maybe with a special show, and not before next time. Whatever.
You'll get it when you get it.
Right, John, thanks a lot for joining me.
See you later. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
Unheardnerd.com.
A very weird ending to the show, that one. I'm going to roll with it. Let it go. Recording.
Yes, that's recording. There we go. So, we are sat in John's car.
Hello.
Outside. I can just put it in the middle.
Actually, I can just put it up there.
Yeah, that'll work.
It'll pick us up.
It's pretty good, actually. We are sat outside the cinema in John's car. It's raining. And we've just seen Mad Max Fury Road.
We have indeed.
It's cold.
Won't start the engine, that'll ruin the audio levels.
It might not help. This is just a brief bonus for the podcast. Just our first thoughts after seeing Mad Max Fury Road. And I just heard a woman behind us as we came out.
Oh, yeah?
And she said, well, it was entertaining, but it was fucking awful. Did you hear that?
What do you mean? No.
And I kind of get what she's saying. It really is entertaining, but in terms of plot, there's not much depth to it.
Oh no, there's very little plot. I want to watch it again now.
Yeah,
I really do. You want to sit down and watch that all over again?
Probably not with the massive, like, Pepsi.
Oh no, no.
From about half an hour in, I was like, oh, that was a mistake.
No, I didn't get through that 7.5 ton of popcorn either.
But you really enjoyed it?
I really, really enjoyed that.
I mean,
I was getting worried when it takes that big breather sort of 3/4 of the way through.
Yeah.
And I was itching. I was going, come on, come on, let's get blown up some cars again.
I mean, effectively, what we've just watched is a 2-hour car chase.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is from start to finish car chase, and which is awesome. I love car chases. I loved all the vehicles in the car. In the car. I loved all the vehicles in the film. These crazy...
They're amazing.
Like, art cars and like, metal spikes and weird hybrid vehicles and just the spectacle of it. It was amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
It didn't look quite as crisp as the trailers I've seen online. I don't know whether that's the size of the screen we just saw it on. It looked like an IMAX screen, but it wasn't an IMAX showing.
No.
And I wonder if it suffered a little bit. I think if we watch it on TV, it's going to be that really bright, vivid orange that...
Possibly, yeah.
I think was just lacking a little bit there in the cinema. It's a really weird one, because I come back to that woman's review. In terms of plot, I mean, there is a plot to it. Shall we go full spoiler on this?
I don't know.
I mean, because I can always... It'll go at the end of the show and I can just...
Oh, it could do. Could spoiler warnings out, yeah.
Full spoiler.
You can't even discuss it otherwise, can you?
Exactly. Let's go full spoiler. So this... Yeah, full spoiler. The story is... That, and I can never remember names of characters in films. I remember Max.
No.
But you got this guy who's pumping water from the depths of the earth. Water is a very rare commodity in the earth.
Which he calls aqua-cola.
Yeah, which is a nice touch. Because he holds the water, he holds the power, he's got women that he's holding captive, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah.
And his intention is, because they're all... they seem to have trouble breathing, they've got ailments and disabilities and what have you.
Yeah.
He's trying to breed a perfect human being. I guess, like, by holding these women captive, impregnating them.
A successor for him, seemed to be.
Yeah, I think so. And they give him a son, effectively. That's what he's after.
That's what he wants. Crazy way of doing it. That's all he wants.
Yeah, weird. And they escape, essentially. The Charlize Theron character... Furiosa. Furiosa. Very good, John. Well done.
That must be the first part, though. She had a title.
Yeah, she did.
Impetrator or something like that.
Something like that.
Impetrator Furiosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes out in a run in the tanker, and everyone thinks she's just going out to...
She get ammunition and
the oil.
And fuel.
No, it's the oil, isn't it?
And fuel,
the fuel place. And then it's revealed that sort of in between the citadel where she comes from and the oil plant where she's going... He suddenly swerves and takes a massive left, basically.
Yeah.
And heads in completely the wrong direction.
She heads east.
Heads due east. And it turns out she's got all the women on board. She smuggled them out and she's rescuing them.
Essentially what she's doing is she's trying to make her way back home to where she was stolen as a child. Her mother and her were, you know, taken from her home. The green place.
The green place is sort of, yeah.
A land, you know, where there's, you know, fertile soil and plants grow and people can live off the land. And effectively, half the film is getting there. They discover it's all gone. And the other half of the film is getting back to take the citadel.
Take it for themselves.
And take it for themselves, because they've got all this, the water stored there, there's plants, there's, yeah, all sorts that can sustain people there. And so it's kind of a rich are very rich and the poor are very poor, and there's a lot more poor than there are very rich. So it's kind of, I guess there's a moral to it, you know, as a reflection of modern society. But effective, it's essentially that the film, I mean, the plot isn't important. Really,
it's just a reason for a bunch of vehicles to go from one place to another.
But it is amazing. Right. I mean, all the women are supermodels for starters.
The true, yeah.
The you know, the ones that are certainly being pursued or saved, depending on which perspective you look at it. Tom Hardy as Max channeled a little bit of Bane. Is it safe to say?
With his maybe a touch.
Accent was very Bane-like.
But I see people saying it's not. Although it is a Mad Max movie, it's more a Charlize Theron movie.
It really, yeah, you're right.
Max is sort of a bystander who's helping out, which is what he does in the other. Definitely what he does in number two, because number two is my favourite of the original trilogy.
Okay, I don't remember them very well. I have seen them.
I remember watching one. I think I watched two first, then watched one, and went, it's not good as two, is it? And then watched Beyond Thunderdome with Miss Turner and went, oh god, that's not very good either.
I seem to remember, but you know, bearing in mind it's been a long time since I watched it and I was a kid, quite enjoying Thunderdome. But I don't know. I don't know if I should revisit them now. It's one of those things where I really enjoyed them. You know, when I watched them the first time round, if I went back, I'm not sure I would so much. I don't know.
Because number two's all about, and it ends up being a tanker chase as well in number two.
I don't recall.
It's about a group of survivors. They've got a tanker full of water.
Right.
And they're basically going to escape from the citadel because there's some big bad guy going to come and basically crush them. So they decide to take the water, run for it, and start up somewhere new. Yeah. And Max helps them escape.
But there's an awful lot to enjoy in this film, in terms of car chases, love it, the vehicle's brilliant, supermodels, not bad to look at, really.
And one of them's even that annoying girl from, oh, you wouldn't approve this, I don't know if you saw it, she gave up, Transformers, was it 3 that had her in, the supermodel, Rosie Huntingly-Whiteley or something.
Was she the redhead, the brunette?
I think she was the pregnant blonde.
Blonde, okay.
I think she was the pregnant blonde.
Oh, right, the pregnant... Okay, yeah. Right. No, I didn't recognise her. I mean, I don't know, there's characters in there. I thought, and I may be wrong, that there's what are they called? Are they dead boys? Or what?
War boys.
War boys. One that turns from being a bad guy to a good guy, and essentially helps... Max and crew. He's a British actor, isn't he? He's the guy that
Nicholas Holt.
That's right. Yeah, and he played Beast in X-Men.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And I think he started off in Skins, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know that one.
Oh no, he didn't start in Skins. He was in that film with Hugh Grant a long, long time ago. About a boy or something.
That sounds right.
It?
Yeah.
He was as a kid.
Oh, is that him? So
he goes back a long way, but. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. It's like first reactions that there's not a lot of substance, but as I keep saying, but a lot of action to enjoy. And yeah, I do want to say.
I think the only action bit that I didn't like was what I'm calling the Jaws 3D moment, where some stuff went flying towards the screen.
Oh.
And it seemed blatantly obvious that we've done this shot for the people who are watching it in 3D.
Because
it's just like the end of Jaws 3. Where the shark blows up and the jaws of the shark fly to the screen. It's like, oh, it doesn't work in 2D.
I mean, you're not wrong. It was just... Yeah,
that was
really...
a bit cheesy, but that's only like, what, a 4-second shot or something. It's not ruining the movie.
No.
I mean, it's so much spectacle.
I mean, visually, stunning. I've never seen some of the effects done before in terms of, you know, you've got people swinging about on poles.
People hanging off cars, people jumping between vehicles.
The weaponry, the way they fight, the concept is very unique and very interesting. Stunning to look at, really stunning. Just looking at the sort of hybrid cars, you can see bits of cars you recognise sort of welded onto other vehicles, and there's
the oil tanker's got the back half of a Volkswagen Beetle on top to act as a lookout post.
Yeah, and there's one with a Mercedes-Benz bonnet on it, and very interesting, very, very fun to watch. So I think I've got slightly mixed feelings. I think you've got...
I'm really buzzing. I want to watch that again.
I was touting this as my film of the year, and I'm not sure it will be now. I did really enjoy it, but at the same time, I think maybe I craved a little bit more. I don't know why I was expecting more from a Mad Max film. I don't know. I mean, I thought there might be more of a plot to it. It's a very loose plot, really acting as a catalyst for a car chase and lots of... It wasn't as violent as I thought it might be. I mean, it's
surprisingly light on violence. There's a couple of sort of gruesome bits, but they're fleeting.
Yeah.
Nothing lingering.
No, nothing too graphic. So yeah, there we are. That's it, I think.
I just it's weird, but I really want to get a PS4, buy the Mad Max game, and just play in that world myself.
Well, let's try and... Sony.
Sony.
Hashtag Sony. Sort John out. We'll see. Anything else to add on that, John, before we
head home? I just really want to watch it again.
Okay. So John will be back at the cinema. You might be able to catch a late showing, John, if you want.
Possibly, yeah. I'll just pop back in.
But that's it from the unheardnerd.com. This is John and Will on a drizzly Friday evening, and we're going to go home.
See you later.
TheUnheardNerd.com.